Welcome to the Flight by Yuengling, Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show. Another rout for the Blackhawks, who fell to the Philadelphia Flyers 5-1 yesterday, and they follow that up in the second of a back-to-back with a 6-1 loss to the New York Rangers. Charlie Romeliotis here in our downtown Chicago studio, and we're going to go throw it right back to Madison Square Garden and bring in Steve Conroy to help me break down this game. Steve, man, I thought the Blackhawks played a much better first period than they did against the Philadelphia Flyers, but things just went totally off the rails in the second for Chicago.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember really where it went wrong for the Blackhawks, because the first five, six, maybe 7 minutes, real good. And, you know, they just seemed to be in the New York Rangers zone. They were playing with purpose. There was urgency in their game. They were on their toes. You know, all the typical cliches. They were making plays, though, and they were getting shots and pucks towards the net. And then all of a sudden, it kind of stopped. Now, you know, maybe that was something the New York Rangers did. They kind of flipped the script, and they started playing in the Chicago Blackhawks zone. Certainly in the second period, they totally tilted the ice. Shots were 16-4 in period number two. But, you know, I think if you talk to the coaching staff, they'd be saying, yeah, we kind of liked our first 10 minutes. We kind of lost the game after that. So I guess the key is to make sure that you do that for 60 minutes, not just 10. And I give some credit, too, to the New York Rangers, because they got a little more offensive. I know their D were joining the rush a lot more. Seemed like they got a little heavier on their forecheck, creating some of those turnovers. And in the end, their six-game losing streak has been ended. I'm talking about the Rangers, and they pick up a moral victory against the Chicago Blackhawks.
Coming into tonight, the Hawks had given up a goal in the first minute of the game. They did so against the New York Islanders, and they did so yesterday against the Philadelphia Flyers. Man, that opening shift for the Blackhawks, they had three shot attempts in the first 30 seconds where Ryan Green hits a post, Artem Levchinov fires a puck wide, and then Connor Bedard gets a really nice chance. Like that was the exact first minute, the opposite of what we saw in the first couple minutes. It was unfortunate that the Blackhawks weren't able to capitalize on that. I want to ask you about, too, the Hawks had a couple power plays in this game, one to open up the second period with a minute 44 left. Man, I thought it was a missed opportunity for the Blackhawks there, because if they end up capitalizing, Hawks go up 1-0. But after that, the Rangers end up tilting the ice in their favor, and they score the next three goals in that middle frame. Just felt like a missed opportunity in the second period for the Blackhawks to get some momentum on the power play.
I would have to agree, because it was a late penalty to Gavrikov at the end of the first period. They have 17 seconds. They actually had a couple looks in that 16.9 seconds. But then to start the second period, you know, if you got fresh ice and talk to any power play, they'll tell you that, yeah, they like having the fresh ice. The puck typically settles a little flatter. It's easier to make passes. But they just didn't really generate a heck of a lot. I got to give a little bit of credit to the New York Rangers. They did a good job pressuring, not giving the looks that the Chicago Blackhawks wanted. And Dylan Garand, you know, we don't know anything about him because he's new to the NHL. He spent the previous 4 years toiling in the American Hockey League, 165 games down there. And he comes in, and I thought he was really good. He made some key saves when he had to. Wasn't overworked, especially in that second period where they only had four shots. But all in all, I thought a pretty good performance from the rookie netminder.
What did you think about the physicality for the Blackhawks? I thought Artem Levchinov took a big hit from JT Miller, and I was kind of disappointed not to see some of the Blackhawks get in there, but I thought they redeemed themselves later on when you did see that big scrum happen and Sacha Boisvert got his first career NHL fight. I mean, I know in a game like this, when things get totally out of hand, you're kind of just watching the clock get down and you just want to get the game over with, but you also don't want to communicate to opponents that you're gonna go down easily. Like, you want to go down with a fight, and so it was nice to see Boisvert get his first career NHL fight, knowing that, you know, that's a part of his game, but he didn't want the Blackhawks to at least just lay down for the rest of the 60 minutes.
Totally agree with you, Charlie. I would have liked to have seen a little bit of pushback prior to that. You know, I thought the Rangers, when it got to 4-1, were really taking some liberties. You know, not so much on Connor Bedard. I thought last night the Philadelphia Flyers took some liberties on Bedard and on Frank Nazar. But tonight, we've said this a number of times, 20 times now. Artie Levchinov doesn't realize how strong he is. And for a guy like, you know, JT Miller to run him from behind, or even Connor Sheary to cross-check him, all he has to do is turn around and grab a hold of the guy. And I say ragdoll him, just shake him. Just grab him by both shoulder pads and just shake him to the ground. And he could do that. He's still, you know, barely out of his teenage years. I don't know if he's 19 or if he's turned 20 yet. But he's got that farm strength. He's like a farm boy, a Belarusian farm boy. And he could really hurt somebody. And like I said, you don't have to throw any punches. Just grab a hold of the guy and tackle him to the ice. They're taking liberties with him. And he's got to create some space for himself. And I just didn't like that from Connor Sheary, from JT Miller. I agree with you. I'm really glad. But I think it came too late. Late in the game, it was great to see Alex Vlasic start to get into it with Will Cooley. And then the Sasha Boisvert, love to see him fight. Wish he would have done it maybe last night in Philly, maybe earlier in this game. But he picked a pretty tough customer in Will Borgen. I thought he handled himself very, very well. But I thought it was just a little late for that. If that happens a little earlier, I think it sends a message. I think intimidation still a big part of this game. And you don't want to be pushed around. And you don't want to be embarrassed either on the scoreboard. So, you know, teams are going to score goals. That's fine. But when they start running you, they're scoring goals and they start running your players. That crosses the line for me, and I'm glad they finally said enough was enough, and they did stand up for themselves.
Yeah, that's very well said, Stephen. It did feel like it was a little bit too late. And to be fair, though, like I know when Artem Levchinov took that big hit from JT Miller and obviously the cross-check from Connor Sheary, I was looking at who was on the ice when it happened, and it was Bedard, Frondell, Ryan Green, and they were all kind of like almost so far away from the play that maybe they didn't see exactly what happened. And Alex Vlasic, I think, was the only one there. And Alex Vlasic has dropped the gloves before. Like, we even saw it earlier this season. I think he dropped the gloves with Mackenzie Weegar in Calgary, sticking up for a teammate. I think it was Colton Dock. And so he can do that. I just think it's kind of, I think it maybe is a little bit hyper scrutinized right now, given what has transpired over the last couple weeks, specifically the Austin Matthews and Radko Gudas, that it just feels like if a guy hits your own player, you're almost expecting a response right away because of how poorly the Toronto Maple Leafs got dragged in the mud for not standing up for their captain.
I see what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I'm not even worried about Connor Bedard or Anton Frondell or Ryan Green. I would like to see Artie Levchinov get up off the ice, you know, and he wasn't injured, but he was run by two guys. He was cross-checked and run. Get up and settle the score right there. Maybe Alex Vlasic could have come over and said something or had something to do, but I want to see Artie stand up for himself. And realize those guys didn't need to do that, and he's going to create room for himself. I'll tell you, it's funny how word spreads, and I can tell you right now that there's, you know, 15, 20 teams in the NHL. I think there's only two games tonight in the NHL, right?
Yep.
So a lot of guys are watching, and they're seeing, okay, no response from Artie Levchinov. And they're also going to see that Sasha Boisvert got into a fight and actually handled himself pretty well. Guys store that in the back of their mind. So you make a name for yourself, and I think Artie, as strong and as big as he is, he could really make a name for himself. And I'm not saying you got to go out there and drop the gloves, but, you know, sometimes you got to stick up for yourself. And even if it's to get up and slash the guy, I don't care if you take a penalty. I know they're getting a penalty. It's 4-1. Who cares? You give up your power play, turn around and hack the guy, and you don't have to get him in the face. Just get him across the legs. Just whack him across the ankles, and it sends a message. And you know what? The other guys on the bench notice that, and it's like, okay, that guy's going to stick up for himself. And there's, you know, 30 other teams in the NHL possibly watching this game, and they see that too. So I get what you're saying about the guys on the ice, and I would never expect Connor Bedard, well, although he would do it, but I wouldn't expect Connor Bedard to jump in there. I want to see Artie take, you know, kind of take it into his own hands and dish out the punishment right there and then. And you know what? If he slashes JT Miller and JT Miller drops the gloves and happens to beat him in the fight, who cares? At least you're sticking up for yourself. I think that's maybe the more important lesson right there.
That's a really good point, Steven. I can't remember if you were, I know we talked, we as broadcasters have the luxury of talking to Jeff Blashill off to the side after he does his general media. And I remember earlier this season, it was maybe like the first couple weeks of the year, maybe the first month of the season, we were asking him specifically about Louis Crevier. I think he took a penalty in a game and we were like, it's probably a bad penalty, right? And Jeff was like, I think it was like a cross check in front of the net. And he's like, to be honest with you, I wish you would do it more. Like I would take those cross checking penalties if it means him getting a little bit meaner in front of the net. And ironically, Crevier took a cross checking penalty yesterday. And that was the first thing that crossed my mind. Like, you know what? That's actually a pretty good penalty because even though the Hawks are going to have to kill that off, it is communicating to other teams. Like you're not just going to be able to park yourself in front of our goaltender. Like you're going to have to take a beating when you go there. And if the Hawks have to kill a penalty to do it, so be it.
Yeah. Those are the penalties you don't mind killing at all. You don't like killing a penalty where a guy trips a guy behind the opposition net 200 feet away from your own net. But when a guy is sending a message, he's sticking up for himself, he's sticking up for a teammate, those are the ones on the bench. I've heard guys say, hey, guys, make sure we kill this one off. And they do. And yeah, I was there. And Jeff Blashill, I remember him saying that. You know what? Talk to any coach. They don't want to be the least penalized team in the league. That sends the wrong message. You want to play with a little bit of an edge. You want to be a guy that's, you know, if it's kind of, I call it, I don't want to call it prison rules. I call it playground rules. You know, like, you know, you'd go out for recess, Charlie, and there weren't any teachers, you know, patrolling the schoolyard. You kind of settled it yourself and you kind of settled it like, well, boys, but men. And, you know, if something wasn't right, you made sure that the guy knew about it. And you did something about it. And I think that's what, you know, you're expecting from some of these guys on the ice. It's, you know, schoolyard rules and the ref's not going to see everything. And you've got to send a message. And it's not only seen by your teammates. It's also seen by the other team. And it's seen by teams like on a night like tonight where there's 30 other teams not playing or 28 teams not playing. So I guess it's a long-winded way of saying, you know, sometimes it's okay to take a penalty. It's okay to stick up for yourself because in the long run, I think it shows that you're a team that's not going to put up with some nonsense. And I thought the New York Rangers, they're not known as a dirty team, but I thought they crossed the line a few too many times tonight.
Yeah, no question. All right, I'm going to send you off now. I will say this. I was a very scrawny kid growing up, so I don't know if I necessarily took care of my own battles at recess. I had someone else fight those battles for me, but in theory, on paper, I would do it if I had to go back.
I could see you being that guy, Charlie, because you're fast and you could always run away.
Scrappy.
So you slap a guy maybe and then you run away.
I love it. All right, Steve, enjoy the off day tomorrow, and we'll get back at it on Sunday to conclude the road trip in New Jersey.
All right, sounds good, Charlie. Thanks.
All right, that was Steve Conrad. The Blackhawks routed for a second straight game, 6-1 to the New York Islanders over at Madison Square Garden. We have some sound rolling in from the Blackhawks locker room. Alex Vlasic and Tyler Bertuzzi spoke to the media a little bit ago, so we'll hear what they had to say on the other side of the break when the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
To Vlasic, left point. Now Vlasic to the slot off a handoff. They score right in front of the net. Two quick passes. Bertuzzi took a handoff from Vlasic and passed over to Nick Lardis, who pumps it in behind Garin. And the Hawks draw first blood here in Madison Square Garden, 1-0.
Back here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Blackhawks scored the first goal of this game for the 40th time this season, which is tied for 9th in the entire NHL. But unfortunately, they fall now to 21-12-7 when scoring the first goal, which is one of the near the bottom of the NHL in win percentage when it comes to that. So certainly a tough record when the Hawks score first. That was Nick Lardis's 8th goal of the season. He now has 3 goals in his last 4 games and 5 points in his last 4. So he's starting to feel some confidence, but unfortunately that was the only highlight of the game that we can play for you. So, that was a tough one for the Blackhawks. All right, let's get to Blackhawks defenseman Alex Vlasic and his thoughts on this 6-1 loss to the New York Rangers.
Pretty even first period, I guess. What went wrong in your eyes come that second period?
I felt like we kind of just tried to change up our style of play.
I thought we had success in the first, keeping it simple, getting pucks in, and just playing a simple brand of hockey. That's kind of how they had success in the second and third. So, yeah, for whatever reason, we just kind of got away from that, and they were able to capitalize on our mistakes.
Do you notice any trends in the last couple of games, just being outscored by so much?
Not really. I mean, I think kind of like I just said, it's on us to be smarter with the puck, to make harder decisions when we're in difficult spots. You know, all over the ice, they have some skill in their lineup, and any good team's going to be able to make you pay.
It looked like after that Larshnov hit, you like kind of were going to do something and then kind of decided not to. What was going through your mind?
Yeah, I just didn't really know if we had a power play. I checked over my shoulder. The ref had his arm up, so saw we had a power play. I mean, looking back, I wish I did step in and do something there. You know, I thought maybe we'd get one on the power play. It's a 4-2 game with 10 minutes left, and we have a chance to win. But, you know, it's easy to say looking back now.
How do you feel like the locker room handled these two games with so many young guys in here and not having the Foligno's and Murphys to kind of talk to you guys through it?
Yeah, it's something that, you know, we have to navigate ourselves. And, you know, myself, I've got to step up as a leader. I've got to step up in the locker room on the ice, you know, do as much as I can to help everybody. I think it's on, you know, all the young guys in here to kind of contribute and make sure this is a team effort, because we've got a lot of the guys, a lot of the core pieces that are going to be here moving forward, hopefully. So it's on us to do a better job.
Do you feel like you guys are feeling this right now, just how condensed it is? Or just, I mean, it's a young group where a lot of guys haven't played even full pro seasons?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I think everybody's kind of going through the same thing. You know, if anything, we should know that, you know, we're kind of on the home stretch here, and even if we're low on energy, we should have some juice still left in the tank to kind of keep pushing through these last games and give ourselves a fighting chance.
All right, that was Blackhawks defenseman Alex Vlasic. I appreciate his perspective of what he saw on that Artem Levshinov hit from JT Miller, but also the cross-check from Connor Sheary. And I think Alex Vlasic is a guy that would most certainly step in a situation. I'm looking at his Hockey Fights page right now, and he has dropped the gloves 4 times in his NHL career. Starting in 2024, he dropped the gloves with Nathan Bastian, who's from the New Jersey Devils, who's he can throw them. Nick Bjugstad, Ryan Strom, and then Mackenzie Wieger earlier this year. It was the November 7th game in Calgary when I think he was sticking up for Colton Dock after he took a big hit, or something happened in that game. I remember that Alex Vlasic dropped the gloves, and so you saw that Alex Vlasic was debating whether he should go over there, and he decided against it because he was, you know, maybe wanted the Blackhawks to have a power play, like he just mentioned. If you can remember, this happened a couple years ago when Max Domi was part of the Blackhawks roster. Patrick Kane got boarded around the bench, and Patrick Kane hopped up because he saw Max Domi, his line mate, starting to go after the defender that did it. And Patrick Kane like takes his stick and is trying to like hook Max Domi away to not go get into that scrum, because Patrick Kane wanted that power play. And so I'm sure it was kind of like the internal wrestle that Vlasic was dealing with there too. Like, Hawks are down 4-1. They would have gotten a power play. Maybe they make it 4-2, and then they can kind of do what the New York Islanders did to the Blackhawks a few days ago, where they really throw the kitchen sink in the third period. But hindsight is easy, but I trust that Alex Vlasic would do the right thing moving forward. And you even saw it later on in the period where he does step in for his teammates, and a big scuffle ensued. All right, Tyler Bertuzzi, he wears an A on his sweater for the Blackhawks. He spoke to the media as well after this lopsided loss. Let's hear what he had to say.
Seemed like a close first period, and then things kind of fell apart. How would you assess the team game?
Yeah, I mean, you're right on. We had a pretty good first. We were in the game. Not much was going on. We were just playing simple, and then I don't know what happened in the second and third. Something changed, and we weren't playing our game.
You assisted Lauris's goal. How is he skating with him? Kind of changed your game, and what have you seen from him since being online with him?
Yeah, he's been really good. He battles hard for a smaller guy. He's physical, and he gets in on the forecheck, and obviously he can score goals, and that's what he does. So I've been enjoying playing with him, and it's good to see him doing good.
The game has snowballed these last two. Anything you've noticed in this group that's lacking right now?
I mean, I can't. We're trying to figure that out ourselves. I don't know if it's just, you know, such a young team, immaturity, and we can't, you know, put it together. But it's on everyone. It's on us older guys, you know, to show the lead and have them follow. And, you know, just as a group, everyone, the last few games, we have not been good at all.
All right, that was Blackhawks alternate captain Tyler Bertuzzi. We got more to get to here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, including Jeff Blashill's postgame press conference. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yuengling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Hawks fall to the New York Rangers 6-1. It was a forgettable game for the Blackhawks, but it was probably an unforgettable game for some of the members of the New York Rangers. They had three players pick up their first in some capacity. Adam Sakura scored his first career NHL goal. They had defenseman Drew Fortescue, who had his first career NHL point in the game. And then goaltender Dylan Garand picked up his first career NHL win. So how about that for the New York Islanders? On the Sakura front, you heard on the CHSN broadcast, Rick Ball and Darren Pang mentioned that he grew up a Blackhawks fan because Marian Hossa was his favorite player. The two are obviously both from Slovakia. And so I thought it was a cool moment for Sakura scoring his first career NHL goal against his favorite NHL team. Time now to look at tonight's ice time, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. Artem Levchinov was the ice time leader for the Blackhawks in this game. 22 minutes and 33 seconds of ice time. Who came in second? It was not Connor Bedard. It was number three overall pick Anton Frondell, second among all Chicago skaters, 20 minutes and 50 seconds of ice time. That was obviously the ice time leader for all Chicago forwards. Connor Bedard was third on the team with 20 minutes and 32 seconds of ice time. So Frondell already getting 20 plus minutes just in his third game. That's obviously a new career high. He logged 15:43 in his NHL debut on Tuesday and then 17:08 in his second game against the Philadelphia Flyers yesterday. So Hawks are throwing Frondell right into the fire, and he seems to be handling it well, although this was a rough game, rough last two games, honestly, for the Blackhawks. So hopefully that's many more of that for Anton Frondell down the road. All right, let's get to Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill, who spoke to the media just a short time ago, and hear what he had to say about his team's performance in this loss.
What do you feel like that snowballed there in the second period?
Yeah, I just think we overcomplicated it. And as a result, we just ended up playing a whole bunch of D. And, you know, obviously, I've said this before, momentum matters. So, you know, when you score, get scored on, that matters. But I just thought we just made it harder than we had to. I thought in the first, we played fast, predictable. We were, you know, especially the first half of the first, we were in their end. Had a good shooting mentality, and then we kind of wanted to do a couple things. Their pressure got to us a little bit. You know, they come down walls hard. Their D are tight on you. We didn't handle the pressure quite as good. But then we just wanted to make we just didn't make enough hard, strong plays.
Opponents have you noticed any pattern? I feel like this season opponents have responded to your guys' goals pretty quick. Is that a pattern you've noticed?
You know, that's just, again, that's every game's a little bit different how that happens. Some of that may be on us just to recognize, you know, how big those momentum shifts are after goals. You know, that might just be something we just got to get better at. So it's not something I've spent a lot of time on, more just focused on our shift-to-shift process.
How have you noticed the team handling it, just kind of in terms of their confidence and morale and everything, especially without the former leaders to kind of talk them through it?
You know, we'll see. I mean, I think overall we've had a pretty good run, and then, you know, these two games have been tough, so this will be a good test for us here after two tough ones. You know, we obviously had a big win on the island and then didn't respond over these two games, but I think overall we haven't really been in this spot a lot. You know, I think we've played pretty good hockey through most of that stretch after the trade deadline, and now we got to regroup.
Are you noticing any fatigue at all?
Well, I mean, you know, I think that's part of this, the whole schedule for everybody, you know. So, you know, you can kind of tell when teams are, you know, in a grind a little bit. But I think right now everybody is. So, you know, part of fatigue is learn how to play smart. We just got to learn how to play a little bit smarter when we're tired.
Not many teams are as young as you guys are, though. Do you think that's part of it too? I mean, these guys are going through it for the first time.
Yeah, there's zero doubt that, you know, kind of what I felt like before the trade, before the Olympic break, is we have a whole bunch of guys going through the NHL schedule for the first time, much less this condensed schedule. So it's a hard challenge for a group that's as young as we are. But we got to respond to the challenge, and you know, we got to take these opportunities to grow and get better, and we didn't do that in the second and third tonight.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. Last quick note, Arvid Soderblom got the start in this game. This was his second start in the last three games, and Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times had a stat out there going into I think it was yesterday's game, but applies to tonight, that Arvid Soderblom has four games with 44 plus saves this season. Only eight other NHL goalies have any 44 plus game this season, and none have more than one. And so in this game, Arvid Soderblom didn't face 44 shots, but he faced 39 of them, and a lot of them came from high danger areas. So he's been facing a lot of rubber over the last several games. I thought he was far from the reason the Blackhawks lost this game, and he actually made some real key big time saves that this game could have gotten out of hand. Even worse if it weren't for Arvid Soderblom. And so I thought Arvid has handled his last three starts really well. Unfortunately, he only has just one win to show for it in those two starts. All right, we're going to take our final break here, and then we'll wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. Hawks were handed a 6-1 loss to the New York Rangers tonight over at Madison Square Garden. Hopefully they'll be able to bounce back in a couple days in New Jersey. But before we get to that preview, let's do a Blackhawks prospect update and check in on our next generation of players sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. So every year after the OHL regular season ends, the coaches, like the league puts out a coaches poll for all the awards in each conference. And I want to go through some of the Blackhawks prospects that were named in some of these poll awards. Let's start with Merrick Van Acker. He was given the most dangerous in a goal area in the East. Jack Pridham won the best shot for a player in the West. They separated him in conference. And then how about AJ Spellacy? He was named the best penalty killer, hardest worker, best body checker. He came in second. And best skater, he came in third. So how about that? We talk about a lot about the physicality in tonight's game and the Hawks needing more of it, especially with Colton Dock and Connor Murphy no longer part of the fold. AJ Spellacy is a guy that is purely his game, being a pure power forward. So I'm really excited to see what he's going to do when he does join the Blackhawks, which honestly could be as soon as next season where we see him as a full-time member of the Chicago Blackhawks. And so AJ Spellacy, the fact that he's also one of the best skaters in the league, in addition to the physical toughness that he brings, is certainly an appealing trait that he's going to be bringing over to Chicago. All right, time now for tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be wrapping up a four-game road trip on Sunday in New Jersey, 6 o'clock start, 5:30 pregame show. The New Jersey Devils are 9-3 in their last 12 games after a 1-7-0 start in their previous eight, but they are still well with outside of a playoff picture, so playoffs is not going to be in the cards. And ironically for them, their season went sideways after the Blackhawks game in the first meeting on November 12th, because if you can remember, the Devils were 13-4-1 in those first 18 games of the season. Then after the Blackhawks game, New Jersey ended up winning 4-3 in overtime. The entire team goes out to Chicago Cut, and Jack Hughes injures his finger and he misses an extended period of time, and the Devils season totally went sideways after that. So kind of coming a full circle moment where the Blackhawks are now facing the New Jersey Devils, and hopefully they can get back in the win column and wrap up the four-game road trip on a positive note. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Sitco. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Sitco. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Sammy Martino. They were led by our engineer, the captain, Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Steve Conroy, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Ermeliotis, signing off after a 6-1 loss to the New York Rangers. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Sunday.